You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Black Men Podcast. That's right. You want to be heard in the black man's world? Simple, they're complicated. Just relax and observe. Breaking down of our families, restructuring communities. To wake up and see, only your losers are free. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door, black male delivery. Your enemy is your memory.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? What's going on? It's your boy Tall Sean. T.S. is who I am.
Trey Dodd is who I am.
You're now tuned in to a new episode of the Black Male Podcast. Sorry that you missed last week. We didn't drop one last week, but enjoy the episode prior.
Yeah, it was my fault. So what?
We have a special, special, special guest.
Very special.
We have Pastor Paul L. Anderson here to speak with us today, and I apologize. I wrote down the name of your church, but could you tell us the name of your church?
Thank you so very much. Sorry. It's called the Fountain of Raleigh Fellowship, where we say God's blessings never stop flowing.
Awesome.
I like that.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Before we get things started, let's talk about your church, your congregation. When did you get started? Mm-hmm. Just give us a small rundown about you.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to tell you my story. I try to do it in abbreviated fashion. I'm the youngest of 9 children.
Okay.
My parents were sharecroppers, came to North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, from Georgia. They left because my dad never got his share, and he wanted a better way. And so he and my mom came to Charlotte with 5 children. You would thought that were enough, and then they had 4 more of us, and I'm the last one.
Okay.
And it's a miracle. They named me Paul because they named me from the guy out of the Bible. My mom had a very difficult pregnancy with me.
Okay.
She was over 40, closer to 41, and the doctors told her that this guy might not make it. And we would prefer that you would abort him, because my mom had already had some miscarriages and had some challenges. But she said, we're going to have this child. And so they named me Paul, at the guy in the Bible. And you know the word Paul means little or humble. So that's the reason I'm the shortest of all my brothers.
Okay.
You know, they got the 5'11", 5'10", 5'9", and I came out at a whopping 5'6", where I am right now. And that's standing on my right leg. And so I'm grateful for that. But a little bit about me and ministry. I got saved. I would say I accepted the call of Christ as a young child. I freely did that, and it was not coerced by anybody, because I did it on my own terms. I wanted to make sure I knew what salvation was all about. So I got saved about the age of 14, and about 17 and a half, I felt my calling into ministry, and that was there in Charlotte. I started out at the University of Park Baptist Church, went to North Carolina Central University, no ordinary common barnyard fowl, but a mighty bird, and graduated, did a degree in business administration, worked in banking for about 3 years, as well as insurance and investments. And I knew I had a call in my life to do ministry. I did the banking piece for 3 years because I was encouraged by one of my good friends. Said, you got a business degree, you need to interview. I had already been accepted to seminary. I deferred it. And then later on, when I was here in Raleigh at First Baptist Church, my home church, my pastor, the late Reverend Dr. Charles W. Ward, a senior, he told me I needed to be involved in ministry and go to seminary. Well, he was ordained by Martin Luther King Sr.
Oh, wow.
He was a personal driver for Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays when he was a student at Morehouse College.
Wow.
And he was taught theology by Howard Thurman.
Oh, wow.
And he told me that if he ordained me, he wanted me to do real ministry. And so that put a press on my life. So I started pastoring. First church I pastored was in Creedmoor, North Carolina, Rock Spring Baptist, then at Baptist Grove for 17 years. I was at Rock Spring for five. And then in December 2009, the God that we serve, he breathed in me this concept that I call the fountain. And matter of fact, I felt that God always wanted me to establish a church and call it the Fountain, but I sort of put it off. And so God had it expressed upon me in such a way that I needed to do it and do it now. So here we are 15 years later. We're here at 9621 Six Forks Road. But prior to that, the first 3 years, we worshiped at Temple Beth Or, the Jewish synagogue on Creedmoor Road. And we were so blessed to create history. That was the first time that we know of that a Jewish synagogue and an African-American Baptist church occupied the same space. We had a wonderful time of celebrating there. And so now we're here at the Fountain. God has blessed us. He's given us a ministry and a work to do. And that's a little bit about the Fountain. Just to let you know a little bit more about myself, I'm married to the same woman for almost 31 years, Tina Morris Anderson. We have two sons, Paul Anderson II and Noah James Anderson. And I'm happy to be a part of their lives because they have enriched my life. And together we all do ministry here at the Fountain as well as abroad. So that's my biographical sketch.
I love that. Okay. I love that. And as you know, we're both fathers, so and we have sons, and that's one thing I love. I love about that. I love hearing about other men being a part because it's been a stigma, and I'm digressing from our topic, but because you said something, it's always been a stigma about black men in there and not being in their kids' lives, and then. All I know is black men a part of their sons and their kids' lives.
I mean, my dad was that way with all of us. I mean, all nine of us. Dad was a part of our lives. Wow. I can tell you good stories about me being with dad. And from that, you know, God rest his soul. I have a great relationship with both of my sons, and I'm grateful for it. They will tell you I've almost been to every event they've ever had.
Awesome.
Even in college. I went to visit them in college the same way I did in high school if they were in something. And we're so blessed to not only be father and son, but we are Christian brothers. They're my brothers in Christ. They're my brothers as a member of Phi Mu Alpha Symphonia, which is a music fraternity, as well as they're my brothers in Omega Psi Phi fraternity. So we have a deep connection, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Thing, these kind of connections need to be communicated and shared. And, you know, what's popular is usually the negatives. Unfortunately, people love to judge us by our worst days.
Yeah.
Right? So we've been talking about doing guests more often within the shows, and I wanted to bring someone that was a man of God that also was in touch with community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't talk often, but I speak about you all the time. And that's why it was funny when I called you, you called my name. I said, I don't know why, that's why I bugged out. But I said to him a long time ago, I said, I know who I want to call to bring on the show because I know, you know, you're going to come here, you're going to shine, and you're going to communicate very well. Because a lot of pastors and a lot of churches, my father and I used to talk about it all the time. The separation with church and community isn't something that just happened overnight.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to hold themselves accountable for their part. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, they don't allow themselves to be loved. They don't allow themselves to be blessed because they're blocking everything.
Yeah.
But then some people have pushed these people away as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I couldn't think of a better person to have on the show for us to tackle those topics.
Right.
And I will say this. My father wanted to appoint this man, to do his funeral on the day he passed. And that's a powerful thing. For somebody to put your name down there like that. He's around the age of my oldest brother, and I can basically talk to him like a brother because we talk like we talk every day, and I haven't seen him in a few years.
Oh, you are my brother.
Factually, yes. Yes, and that's how I speak of you when I speak of my brother here. So now that we got the introductions out the way, we're going to let this man speak on a few topics and get
before
into
you go into those topics, I want to tell you, man, your dad's he's a great dad.
He's
a great man, and I would just want to tell you, I appreciate the relationship I've always had with your dad, but not just your dad, but also your mom. You come from great stock, and for that, you are truly blessed to have a dad who's still with you, 91 years of age, even though he's having some health challenges.
Yeah, he's still here.
That's expected when we get older.
Yeah,
But the good thing about it, he gave you some great principles, and look at how you turned out.
Well, without realizing it, but I say to people on a side note, without realizing it, if I look at the great things that he has done, I was taught how to do a lot of things at a young age that I can carry on from now and go on.
Yeah.
I was speaking in front of churches at 7 years old.
Yes, you were.
But I didn't realize what I was being trained to do.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back on it, it's like there was some sense to some of this stuff.
Yeah, it was a rhythm.
So I could focus on maybe a few things that could have been better, or I can look at the things that were given to me, instilled in me, that just come so easily for me. That was part of what he put me into doing. So, yeah, it's good to hear people that he has been good to and has been a blessing to. Because that's what he was called to do. You know, that's just like just what you're called to do. Yeah. When you get that age, they're going to be talking about you the same way. Yeah, man. They talk about you like that now.
Well, hey, you pay people enough attention, they'll say anything.
Sometimes, but I think yours is a little different. I think you earned that.
You're kind.
So let's get into it. Like, what are creative ways churches are building strong local relationships beyond just worship? Like, for yourself, like, sure. I've looked at a couple of pamphlets and things that you have up just as I was walking around and things like that. So what are some creative ways that, you know, your church is building with the community?
How much time do we have?
We have time.
Okay, good. We try to build creative relationships in more than one way. Uh-huh. And to tell you all about that, that would do a disservice to your listening audience. But I'll try to hit some of the high points.
Okay.
So we do a lot of service to the community because we believe that Christ created us, just like you said, Corey, to be a light in darkness. And I think that is so important. You know, we grew up singing songs, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine."
Right.
It's a wonderful thing. Right. But you got to have to ask yourself, what are you radiating?
Right.
And so we try to do that in multiple ways. And I'll give you a few of those ways. One of the ways is that I try to lead our congregation to make sure that we're involved and know what's going on in the way of law enforcement. That for 36 and a half years, I was the senior volunteer chaplain for the Raleigh Police Department.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And the reason I got involved was as a young black man, 22 years of age, driving a BMW in Southeast Raleigh, I got tired of being stopped by the Capital City Police, by the deputy sheriff, by the police department, and from the highway patrolman because I was profiled.
Yes.
I was a young black African-American male driving a BMW. And you know what BMW stands for? Yep. A black man working. A black man working. Yeah, I was able to afford it. Much having the wheels, but I was able to afford it. And I thought it was a grave injustice to stop me because I was privileged to have a job and drive a vehicle. So we do proactive things. I take the concept to be involved in the community, you got to be around the conference table where decisions are made.
Yes.
Because if you're not around the table, 9 times out of 10, you're on the table. You become the agenda of someone else.
Yes.
And we try to make sure that we help guide the agenda, not only as it relates to law enforcement and being able to remind our young men and young women how you deal with law enforcement, how you communicate, how you make sure that you present yourself in such a fashion that you have to be respected because you respect the badge.
Yes.
You respect all of that. So we try to engage in that way in the community. And so with that, we participate what is known as Faith in Blue.
Mm-hmm.
It is in October that we have a breakfast for the police department. The police chief, the North District that is closer to us, as well as the other districts, because they knew of my history being with the police department, we did a breakfast for them. And we do it annually. So we get a chance to interface with them to find out what's going on. Here's what we need from you all.
Right.
But here's what we want you to know we're here to do for you and with you.
Mm.
I think it's all about partnerships.
It is.
So we partner in that way. We partner with those persons in the community through Habitat. We build homes.
Yeah. Okay.
We build Habitat homes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and we've been doing it for all of our 16 years that we have been a congregation. Matter of fact, we're working, if I can recall correctly, we are now working on our 32nd house with Habitat.
Oh, wow.
And I'm talking about giving not only the money, but we also have people in our congregation who participate. We have the teenagers. Mm-hmm. We do something around right about the Martin Luther King holiday we've done in the past that we have the young people to get out there to help us build the walls, as well as adults. And then we do it on site. And while we're doing that, we have other community partners. So we've been participating in what is known as Baptist Bills. So we have black Baptist churches and white Baptist churches that come together to break down the walls that divide us and try to build walls together.
I like that.
Walls of inclusion, not exclusion. So we do that, and we do several other things. Those are just a highlight of a few things that we try to do as a congregation to help eradicate homelessness. We're part of One Wake, which is an organization of churches that get together as well as nonprofit organizations to talk to those who are elected officials about some of our priorities, affordable housing, a good living wage for those that we can all afford to live in Wake County.
Right.
Because, as you know, most people are having to move out of Wake County because it's just too high.
We just live right on Six Forks.
Hey, you know, if we hadn't bought our house when we did 20-something years ago, I couldn't afford a house in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
No, I definitely understand that.
So those are some of the things that we get involved in. We talk about, in the book of James, it says faith without works is dead.
Yes.
So we say we have faith, and the writer of James says, well, let me see your faith by your works. So we have to do both. So we believe that we not only come here, we call our place the fountain. And we say that's where God's blessings never stop flowing. It doesn't flow in, right. But it flows out. Mm. And it's important for us to go out into the community to share God's grace, his mercy, and his peace, and to use words only if necessary. But we do it by our actions. That's that. Why you get involved. And so as a congregation, we believe in getting involved.
Great, great.
I love that, man. I love that. And some of those programs I've heard about before, I used to do some stuff with RPD as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I worked for the city of Raleigh for a number of years. I don't anymore, but I used to help out RPD with tech issues, and then I helped out a couple of, I played basketball with quite a few of those guys and stuff like that too. So it was the same thing. I got tired of getting pulled over all the time. So let me go over here and figure out what we can do. Let me learn something. So,
and it's a good thing to learn because I was so fortunate that I got a chance to do a 2-hour block.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lack of training for every one of those quote-unquote cadets who came through the academy to talk about spiritual sensitivity, which helped me to weave in there the other things about perspectives.
Right.
You know, and when you've given the right perspective and the right lens to see people, that's how you'll see them.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to make sure we create the right scenario and give people the script that we want to have them read as opposed to some other script they've gotten from someplace else.
Okay. Question. So, do you feel the younger generation see the church as relevant to their lives at this moment? Like the kids that you interact with, you just brought up a couple of teenagers and stuff. I know when you watch social media, you watch a little bit of the television, you see so many minds are scattered when it comes to religion and spirituality. Yeah. Like, how do you see it currently?
That's a pretty interesting question because, you know, the churches we know today is not the church that it used to be.
Well,
and the people who come to church are not the people who used to come to church because most of them are gone. COVID was a very interesting phenomena.
Yes.
I think it caused people to rethink and reimagine what we call church.
Yes.
Because if you look at the word church in the Greek, it's the word ekklesia. It means the called out assembly. It doesn't necessarily mean a building.
Right.
But it's talking about those who are the people of God. That's why it is important for us to understand that the church, which is the body of baptized believers.
Right.
It is composed of everyone who's accepted Christ. So that's the reason we call ourselves the Fountain of Raleigh Fellowship. You notice it doesn't say the Fountain of Raleigh Church.
Right.
It's the Fountain of Raleigh Fellowship. We are a fellowship that meets together because we are part of the body of Christ. And so I think what has happened over the years, we've had to look at different ways of sharing the same message, the gospel. I can remember when I was a child, I grew up in my home church, University Park Baptist Church. At that point in time, we were located at the corner of Keller Avenue and Senior Drive in Charlotte, right across from West Charlotte High School. Had one of the most vibrant youth programs I'd ever seen in my life. We had a full summer of activities for kids that didn't cost you anything. And so in my life, I've done the same thing, and I've tried to do that. And especially when I was at Baptist Grove Church, it was there. The season was right. I got a chance to grow that congregation from on a Sunday morning when I first got there in April of 1992. You would find out there may be 65, 70 people. When I left, we had over 1,000 people.
Awesome.
Had a full-time minister of youth, had youth ministry coordinators. And the way you do that is you reach young people where they are. We got them involved in the acts and in the arts, whereby we used to do house parties for the kids because everybody loves music. I don't know about you, but I love any kind of music just as long as it's soothing.
You know, right,
I'm borrowing the words from somebody.
Right.
And so therefore, we try to reach our young people, and young people can be reached through and by music as well as here at the Fountain. We've done it through and by mime, by dance. the arts. It's a right. wonderful thing to have. But we also make sure that we provide scholarships for our kids. When they finish high school, they get book scholarships, not only from us here, but also from other things. So I think the young people in our day, they believe church is relevant because we still have some young people who are here at the Fountain. So we try to make sure we provide a youth ministry that is tailored to their needs. Awesome. You reach young people where they are. You speak the language that they speak. And I surprise them all the time when we talk about music, and I know some of the music they're listening to. I think all of us as ministers of the gospel, we need to be aware of what's around you.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback on what you're saying, why do you feel so many churches frown on that? Because that's what pushes a lot of youth away, because a lot of churches look at anything youth-related as if it's evil and has no place within the church. When you speak about praise dancing, I know a lot of pastors that are against that. Well, my father himself was against it. You know what I'm saying? So that generation gap, like I said, we have to hold ourselves accountable for it.
Right.
Like you have to have, the youth have to have a place within the church as well. They have to feel welcome. A lot of the older generations, like I could tell a quick story and I want to get back to you.
It's all good.
When they were going to build a basketball court at my father's church, the church voted against it because they felt like kids would be there selling drugs. So that's your whole mentality of what you see. You're laughing because you see how foolish it is at this point.
Yeah.
These are grown people in the room.
Right.
Not wanting the youth to have something
exactly
for free. We talking about a basketball court fenced in with lights for free. And they voted against it. So you're giving all of these programs that I love. First of all, I love, and I'm sure we both agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have that. It makes you want to come and be a part of it. But there's a lot of churches that will look at that in a negative tone.
Well, I think part of the reason is that we, in our own minds, we come up with this idea of what's sacred and what isn't sacred. Well, if you look at it from the Hebraic life, as well as the life of African Americans, all of life is sacred.
Okay. Yes.
And Christ is everywhere. The last time I checked, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing.
Okay.
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Right. Mm-hmm. So God is with me just as much on Sunday mornings as he is with me if I'm dancing.
Yeah, talk to him.
It doesn't matter where you're dancing. It doesn't matter what you're dancing to. God is still there. Yeah. So it's God's presence being there. And I think part of it has to be that we have to look and understand that those of us who grew in different age groups and different dynamics, that was what happened then. We have to be the church of what's happening not only now, but what's going to happen in the future. That means we have to have creative and innovative ways
like that
we are willing to say, let's give it a try. You know, my parents used to teach me something very powerful. It says, nothing beat a failure but a try.
Yes.
And I think if we decide that we want to have children to be involved, you get them involved. Here at the Fountain, we try to make sure on the second Sunday our kids sing, provide the music. They lead in the different acts of worship.
Okay.
And then our graduating seniors, they give their senior message. And it's the message for the day. They talk about the challenges that they face. They talked about receiving Christ as their Savior. They talk about how the church has blessed them. And then when they go off to college, we do something for all of our students, both those in undergrad and grad. We send them an exam care package with a message from me telling them how much we love and care for them. And we know they're going to be successful in what they're doing.
That's powerful.
Because, you know, Philippians tell us, I can do all things through Christ. So, and we sing the song, there is no failure in God.
Right.
So you're going to do well because the expectation is there. I think when we start building the dynamics to realize that children's voices are just as important of those of us who are older, and we give them equity, it is then we'll find out. You know, I heard somebody say, children don't give any money. Why should we give them our time and all this other stuff? Well,
somebody said that?
Well, people say a lot of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
there has to be a moment in time in our lives that when my parents used to say that you let it go in one ear and go out the other way. Just let it pass through. Because if they were really thinking, they would say these children are an investment in our future because many of them are going to be the engineers that are making six figures and they're going to thank God for how their church blessed them. And they're going to reach back and pull forward students and give them internships because they realize how the church made a difference in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in every congregation that I've been in, I try to have inspirational speakers to come in periodically, people that they know every day. I've had every African-American who served on the North Carolina State Supreme Court to stand behind a pulpit wherever I pastored.
Okay.
You know, I've had the Speaker of the House, the only one, Dan Blue, to stand behind a place where I pastored. But I've also had young people to to come in and speak who've done great and marvelous things in their lives so that people will know that God can do it for you all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it is phenomenal the things that God does.
Yes.
If we're only willing to trust
it.
So I think it's important for us to get the message out to youth and to make them an integral part of what we call the church.
Right.
And the church has to be not only encapsulated behind the four walls, but the real church is the church that's out doing the work. So there's room for children, and I think all of us have to open up our eyes and our ears, hear what's going on, find out what they're saying.
Yep.
I'm going to conclude with this. Jesus asked his disciples a question. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?"
Hmm.
He did a filler. He wanted to know, what are people saying about me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, as the body of Christ, we need to ask people, what are folks saying about us? Mm-hmm. You know, I love to hear people say good things about the Fountain. You know, you always want to hear people say good things.
Yes.
But you also want to hear if there are any other ways in which we can be more creative to reach our young people. We have to have a listening and an open ear to say, I'm ready to hear.
Yes, we do.
So I think we try to do some things to bring young people in. Other people do things as well. I can only talk about what's happening in our
house. No, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And I love hearing that because it's been some time since I've heard that. I've helped churches set up camera systems for different things. I've gone to multiple different churches around.
Oh man, we're going to talk to you after this is over with because we're looking at getting new cameras.
Camera system. Yeah. So I've done that, and I listen to you know, you look at the congregation. I go to the service because I like the. I also like the people that I may have as a client or do somewhere. I also like to go and sit and. Let's see the person. Let's see what's going on. And you look at the church's predominantly older generation who's also fighting the fact that you're bringing cameras and you want to do lives and things of that nature, especially since COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then you look at I'll go in my mother's church, and which I love her pastor. He lost a lot of young people because of the older people almost pushed them out where it's like, and you're so now – and it's bad now. A lot of the older people are passing away. I mean, my mother is very sick, and she was one of the younger mothers.
Oh, wow.
And now, you know, she's very sick, and she's able to go watching online. She goes in person, but they missing a buck. And I've had those conversations with him, and it's just hard because once you lose that group, it's hard to get that group back. So I commend you and respect like how you're doing, because I haven't heard a lot of those things that you do. Giving books, people don't realize how expensive books are. We both have our master's degree, and so we know how expensive books could be when it comes to school.
It even costs more when you're working on a doctoral degree.
I can imagine.
I waited until this late in life to do it. Well, I had to take my turn, so everybody else is working on theirs, so I'm working on mine now.
See, I love that, though. And books are expensive for you to just give scholarships for books.
It's important.
The small things that people, you don't realize, that's a big thing.
That's a big thing.
Books, $300 or better sometimes, depending on, my daughter just finished her master's. Her books were expensive.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. It's a lot. So I commend you and respect that so much.
Well, like, all glory to God.
I think when you lose people, I think it's difficult to get them back.
Yes.
I don't think you really get them back. It's almost like a rebirth for the person. You almost start from scratch.
Yeah, you
like
do.
I grew up in the church, so I've seen it on every angle. And it's just, you know, you see the people that are very progressive. You know, you're going to get tired of me complimenting you, but, you know, you're in a place that's progressive, and I've been in some places to where you just don't feel welcome from the time you step a foot in the door. I've seen my own father's church members in public, and they look at me like they're scared of me because they don't know it's me, you know? And it's funny to me because you pray every Sunday that you're not scared of nothing, you have faith in God, but you're scared of a black man walking to you that you actually do know.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't even look me in my face because you walk and living your life scared.
Wow. I mean, even one of your deacons said that, how welcoming you were. That's what brought, what gathered him. When he walked in here, it was like he was so welcomed, and he was actually shunned at a couple of churches when he walked in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to be welcomed, and for him to have the wherewithal to be like, I'm gonna continue looking for a home, even being shunned because of who I am at that moment.
Yeah.
And for him to come into this place and be received that manner, that's what, like I told Corey when we before we started, I said, I've seen him before. I've seen you before.
Yeah.
When you, you know, and I feel like we've been in the same place before. That's why I figured that.
Yeah, we have. When I saw him, I'm going like, okay, yeah, we cool.
Yeah. So that, and to me, that's another level. Even for myself, I battle with, I'm a very spiritual person, but I'm battling, I battle worship places and things of that nature at this moment, you know, and then I look at my sons who, you know, I they know I'm, you know, we meditate, I breathe, you know, spirituality in them. They also, they used to go in the church. They used to go with their grand, they call her Nana, my mother, all the time. And I used to go to the church all the time and things of that nature. So I had my oldest son, and it's funny that when he brought this to me, my oldest son just asked me, and he's getting ready to start high school. He asked me, he said, Dad, why we don't go to church anymore? I couldn't answer him. I could not answer that. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I know, you know, I told him, I said, when COVID happened, you know, a lot of churches just, we weren't able to go in person and then just kind of fell out of going. You know, he, with his school, when he played football, they get like a sports Bible, and he would read stuff. And then he know I keep a Bible in my office, but I also keep a Quran. I keep various different things of you know, spiritual readings. And I've noticed him. He's now in his mind trying to find himself, and he's looking in a spiritual manner where his mind is at, where he's trying, because he's, you know, 4 more years, he's going to be off to college or whatever he wants to do. You know, he's getting ready to start high school this year. And that's like, that's the scary moment for me.
It goes by fast. Trust me.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah, yeah. So it's good to hear. But so what do you say to people like myself that like having a hard time, they know what they know what they are. They know, you know, they know who they are, but they also spiritually they wavering, they just unwavering.
I think COVID was very interesting for all of us. It caught many of us off guard.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Yes.
You know, we had started venturing in, getting ready to do the live stream and all of that kind of good stuff. But it forced us to really do it and to realize that there are a lot of people you can reach.
Yes.
You now go from having a local ministry to an international ministry. So we've done mission and outreach.
Right.
And I've been to Liberia, I've been to Africa a few times, and I have a pastor from Africa who comes to be with us, as well as a pastor from India who comes and spends time with us, and we do ministry with them. So it gives you a whole different perspective, and you understand the world is a big place.
Yes.
And we serve a big God.
Yeah.
And so why can I take my big God and confine him only to my little building? We have to remind ourselves, and COVID helped us to see that the church is much bigger than our little buildings.
And it
calls us to have a bigger picture of life. And so I would say to persons who are worshiping online, thank God for that medium. It's a wonderful way to worship and to serve God. I say to those who haven't come back to church yet, you know, I'm not going to steal the words of a songwriter, but it's good for us to come back to church. And when you come back to church, you'll find out some churches have changed. They're not what they used to be. Yeah. I know we are not what we used to be. We've had to change a lot of different things. I do not measure a person's religious point of view or their Christianity if they're worshiping at home or in the building. But I do know building relationships with people It's not like fellowship.
Right, right.
When you start fellowshipping with people, you start to find out more about yourself and about them.
Right.
And you build this bond, because we still do intercessory prayer. And we do that right after church. We have an intercessory prayer team that they're praying for about 2 hours after church is over.
Oh, wow.
And they're praying for the young people, praying for those to come back to church. I tell people, you find out what works best for you. We try to do our worship service in such a way that we can hit everybody. We try to have a part of it and fuse it together that you have the young people, you have the young adults. We have persons in our congregation that are less than 12 months of age. And then we have one lady who's 102.
Oh, wow.
And she almost never missed church. She's 102.
Wow.
You know, she can still walk, but her family keeps her in a wheelchair because they're afraid of her falling.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and so
she's 102. Yeah. And so I tell people, give it a try. Find out what works for you. We try to do our worship service in such a way that it fuses things together for both the young and the old. I try to make sure that my messages are messages that speak towards not only the biblical historical context,
right,
but it also gives it some application into today's life. Just like today's sermon that I preached about was the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
But I took it from a whole different perspective. You know, we have to, as pastors and as leaders in the religious community, we have to speak the language of the people. You know,
that's tough for a lot of people.
Well, it can be tough, but I think it's easy if you're listening.
Listening is the hard part.
It
came up yesterday at the thing.
It does. And
people
listen to respond
rather than listen to understand.
You
got to
listen.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I came up as being a child that was born in the 60s. And so I use this in the back of my mind. Anytime I'm getting ready to preach a message, I hear Marvin Gaye asking me, "What's going on?" So I got to preach about the picket lines, the picket signs, and I still got to say, don't punish me with brutality.
Right.
Because we see so many things happening. So we have to give a gospel that not only still tells you that Jesus saves, but he saves you where you are, and he takes you where he wants you to be.
Yeah.
My youngest son, Noah. Shout out to you, Noah, DJ Jimmy V, that is known as the Cocoa Butter Casanova. He does music.
Okay.
And he did something for me that wasn't so long ago. I'm not going to advertise the place where he went, but he went to this place on a Thursday night where they were doing spoken word poetry and everything else. So he does that. You know, I do a little bit of spoken word poetry. I do it some of it that is just off the cuff stuff that I prepared. And so I went to him for an evening on a Thursday evening. I saw all these young people in there. They were spitting out rhymes. They were spitting out raps. They were talking about their personal experience and the stuff that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And you know what? After they finished doing that, they were telling their personal story. And I saw them hugging each other. And I told my son, Noah, I said, man, this is church, even though it's not a church building on the outside.
Right.
Because people were crying and praying. They were embracing people where they were.
Yeah.
And they were telling them, you got somebody who loves you. And I think that's where the church needs to be.
Most definitely.
When people know that you genuinely love them and care about them, it makes all the difference. I try to use the model of a shepherd who knows his sheep. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 23, and we can read about a shepherd, but the shepherd knows his sheep, and he calls them by name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's still a good thing, personally speaking, for me as a pastor, to get to know the parishioners that come to our church.
Yeah.
I want to know their name. I want to build relationship because it's about relationship.
Yes.
You know, we know God in Christ through and by relationship.
Yes.
And I cannot quantify nor define my relationship with Christ to just being in a building.
Okay.
It has to be a day-to-day experience. So our young adults, they have their virtual time that they get together. On Sundays at 4 o'clock p.m., they have a virtual time of coming together in the way that they want to do it, and I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Oh, man, that's deep.
And they're all over the country. They grew up here.
Right.
But now they're young adults. They live in different places. But they Zoom in at 4 o'clock, and they have their virtual time. They study and all this other kind of wonderful good stuff. My oldest son, Paul, helps to lead that and gives it direction. And we have to understand it's not so much being in the building. That's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being involved and doing the things. So I'm going to personally give you an invitation to you and your family to come and worship with us.
I'll be here. Okay. I've already had planned. I just texted my wife while we were talking.
Okay, so cool.
I may have to come and check this out.
Come on, check us out.
Yeah, so. And that's funny because my wife and I, we've been together. We've been married now for 12 years, but
congratulations.
We've been together for 16 years. And when I anytime we hear something like this, or the first person I text is her. Oh, she'll text me. I'm like, hey, babe, we might need to check this out. And I sent information before I came today. She was like, she got me up. Make sure you're on time, and we got to go do this, and you got to do this. Get your equipment and everything. And I'm laughing. She was like, and tell me how it went, because I would like to know. I was like, all right.
Okay.
Because we're both from South Carolina. Well, I'm originally from Detroit.
Okay.
But South Carolina, what consider part of Detroit? Home. I'm from, I've lived on both sides, east side of Detroit and okay. west side of Detroit.
My I'm first cousins city. Grew up in Highland Park.
Park, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know Highland Park very well. I'm right in the inner city. So okay. I'm an inner city kid.
I've been there.
And I moved down south, mother and father separated, moved down south. Most of my mother's from small country town in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So my wife is from there too. So we.
What town?
So I'm from Andrews, South Carolina, yeah. right outside of Georgetown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know that area?
Yeah, I've been down that way. You've
been down that way? Yeah. Because you're Anderson. You have some Anderson family there?
In South Carolina as well as in Georgia.
Because I'm an Anderson.
Yeah.
So my mother's an Anderson. So most of my family are Andersons. Yeah,
I'm going to tell you this. It was a big plantation.
Yes, okay? It was.
Both in Georgia and South Carolina.
It's a very big, and most of them are Georgia and South Carolina. It's
that's
a
right.
Very
it's
big it's plantation.
Those two brothers. Matter of fact, yep. we did our family history and our DNA and all the other kind of good yes. stuff. I have the quote unquote bill of sale for my great great grandfather.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who was sold on the slave block at 6 years of age.
Wow.
He was from Nigeria. Mm. So I am part a Yoruba and Igbo on the African side of the family, on the white side of the family. When we traced all the way back, I have a patriot ancestor. His name is Walter Hansen, and his father was John Hansen, Hansen, who signed the Declaration of Independence, who was serving as president before it became the United States of America. He was there in that meeting that was held of the Congress as they were preparing to found this nation. So I think it's always important to know where you come from
and
who your people are. That's the reason why old folk used to say before you met somebody, yes, who your people
are. Because
it might be your cousin.
Yeah. My wife and I did that. That's funny. Right. We did that same thing. We're like, my mother, the great thing is our families know each other. So they know there's no bloodline.
So they know you're not kids.
Yeah, they know there's
all right,
no bloodline.
Cuz, I'm so happy to meet you.
So she's one of the people that I send messages to. We talk back and forth. Well, that's my confidant. So we'll definitely be we're definitely planning on coming and visiting, because I would like to see how Sundays work here.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll be happy to have you.
You got anything?
Oh, I'll just letting y'all go. But look, how do we heal with some of the traumas that come from the church? Not from outside of the world. Some of the people that have the traumas within the church.
Yeah.
If they approach you with those, you know, how do you think you need to get started with healing that? Because I'm sure you know what's out there.
Well, yeah, I think it's always out there. People get hurt for a lot of different reasons. And one of the things I found out a long time ago, hurt people hurt other people.
Most definitely, yes.
And so we have to get to the point where we deal with our own pain and clearly identify where it came from, and take ownership to how we could have caused it to happen.
Right.
Either by our neglect or by our stepping in places that we shouldn't have gone. Now, we do know folk always talk about, I've been hurt at the church. Yeah. And when people tell me that, I ask them another question. Have you been hurt at the club?
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
You still go to the club, don't you?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why don't you come on back to church? I mean, that was just a one-time event. You cannot base your life on a one-time occasion, because that may have been just that moment where everything was set up for it to be a bad situation.
Yeah.
But also there are times when it's set up to be a good situation. I think most people have had more good that have happened to them as opposed to bad. But when people do have whatever you want to call church hurt,
right,
or when they've been hurt from someone, by being in the church, someone has said something about your dress, somebody said something about the way you look, or, you know, someone who's just not having a good day. And we must always realize, and I learned this a long time ago, the church is a spiritual hospital.
Okay.
Mm.
So whenever you have a spiritual hospital, it means people are coming there for treatment because they have illnesses. Yeah. And all of us have some kind of spiritual illness. And the fact of the matter, we don't always have the same one. And sometimes persons are not on a good day, and they may say something to you while you're at church that can hurt you because you're at a very vulnerable moment. I always understand this, that when people come to church on Sunday, they're waiting to have a supernatural divine encounter with Almighty God.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes people get in the way of that encounter, that they can't hear God. but they hear people.
Yep, too.
You know, it might be the lady who's sitting in front of you with the big hat. You can't see. And so you keep going left to right.
Right.
Yeah, and they're getting on your nerve because, you know, you can't see around their head. Well, you know, it's much like the same in Isaiah, the sixth chapter. It says that when King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Well, he couldn't see the Lord because he was looking too much at the natural man. And I always try to remind people and remind myself, we don't look at people. We try to look at God because people will fail us. People will hurt us.
Most of them.
And we have to learn to forgive people when they ask for forgiveness. But sometimes people never ask you for forgiveness. So we have the luxury of pardoning them. Mm. You can pardon somebody as an act of your will. You know, governors and presidents, they get a chance to pardon people.
Yes, they do.
They get them out of jail.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things we have to remind ourselves is that we get ourselves out of jail when we pardon people who've done us wrong and we don't hold on to it.
Yes.
Somebody said, quote unquote, jealousy and anger is almost like drinking poison and waiting for somebody else to die.
Mm.
It's
It's
killing you.
Yes.
And so I think we have to let people be honest about where the hurt is and be open to receive it. I always tell people, I am not a professional counselor. I'm a pastor. I've taken pastoral counseling courses. I've taken psychology courses, all the kind of good stuff. But I don't have a shingle on the wall to say that I am a licensed clinical counselor. I'm not. I do pastoral counseling and guidance. I really call it spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. So when people come to me and they have hurts, I try to find places in scripture that will help them deal with that situation, as well as identify with other people who can help them walk through it together.
Okay.
I'll tell people, I'm there to walk with you, but I'll walk as close as you want me to.
Okay, I want you to continue with that, but I want to say this to you. That just leads me to the conversation of a level of accountability and transparency, right?
Sure.
And I'll direct that to black men, because this is the Black Male Podcast. Do you have programs? I'm sure you do, just for black men. Well, I'm saying that because I remember the church I was going to in Durham at one time, UBC, they had a Bible study for just black men.
Sure.
Right? That was one of the most powerful things I experienced because it wasn't even Bible study.
Yeah.
They read one Bible verse and it was like 10, 15 men up in there and we just talked about life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was powerful. It's nothing I've never seen at that time. And it was great for me at that time.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful. So what I'm saying with that is you had a bunch of people that had so much to say but never said it.
Mm.
And it's just inside you like a virus. And it just grows and it grows. And then you flare up and you explode. And anything can happen within that explosion.
Oh, sure.
So within that, you know, what programs do you have, like, for black males separate from the women? Because we talk different amongst each other than we do around the women.
I was going to say.
And we need that space.
So first of all, let me give the disclaimer. We have more than just black men in our congregation. We have white men in our congregation, too. And we have people who are from Latin descent. So we have a time where our men come together. So here at the fountain, everything has something to do with water. Okay?
Okay.
So our men's ministry, we call it the stream.
Okay.
Seeking to reach and encourage all males.
Mm.
Okay? We call it the stream. And it says all males. So what we do is we get together on every Saturday, the third Saturday of the month. The men come together. We do a Bible study. But we also do a fellowship breakfast, and we talk about what's going on in your world.
Okay, that's cool.
And we do it this way. Whatever happens in the room stays in the room.
That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way it can be. So,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So is that accountability piece that you talked about? So we don't really have what we call programs. We have ministries because we believe everything should be a ministry. You know, when you have a program, it makes me always think about my computers and information systems classes that I took and operational management that you have a decision analysis tree. With programs, it tells you if, then, and all the other kind of stuff. But with ministries, the way we look at it is that we're here to minister to you. but we want you to pour out your pain, pour out your hurt.
Yes,
fortunately, we do have persons who are part of our men's ministry who are trained in helping people to walk through situations and problems.
Great.
And I tell you, it's nothing like being in a room with a bunch of guys and they tell you, man, I'm so happy to be here on a Saturday morning to have breakfast with you brothers because my wife doesn't understand how important this is to me. But now she's starting to understand how much I get from being with other men who have similar issues. Because, you know, men, we don't talk too much.
No.
Well, we keep your
deacon,
to ourselves.
We spoke to your deacon about that, like when he was talking about his experience with dementia.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying to him, a lot of us go through it, and when we're in it, we just feel like we're alone in it. We don't know which way to turn, but we're actually in a room full of people that also went through it and maybe felt that same way.
And
when, like, I haven't even known this brother as long as people think I have, but people think we've known each other all our life because we were always close from the beginning.
That's great.
Because every conversation, we would always be like, okay, I've been through that. Boom, boom. I'm talking about from the beginning.
As
if we grew up together.
Wow.
So that's just the foundation of that, and we just ran with it. So
and we
that's
hold not each even other accountable.
Friend. Yeah, it's not even my friend.
You got to do that.
That's my brother. But yeah, we call each other once in a while with the, you know.
The rigmaroles of life.
Just a quick one. It's just happening. Life.
Just go ahead and fix it, bro. I'm there. Fix it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But some people go their whole lives and never have that.
And that's unfortunate.
And you're around people that just justify your madness.
Mm-hmm.
Then your madness becomes a lifestyle.
Yep.
And anything outside of that lifestyle just makes that madness even magnify even more.
It does.
So you're living in a prison and you don't even know it. Mm. So you got these invisible bars around you every time you go somewhere.
Wow.
And you're comfortable in this mud like a pig just wilding around with your slop.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when somebody does try to present you with something to uplift you, you can't even recognize it anymore.
Yeah.
And your mind is so cluttered, you can't even hear the blessings that come your way to lead you another way because you got to declutter all of this. Now, declutter might take some time, but declutter also takes that level of accountability and transparency that I like to talk about a lot. Like with men, we need that.
Because
we're taught not to even have emotions. So we live our life a lot of times with a wife for 10 years, and we ain't told that woman one time we don't like her cooking. You know, and it starts from there, and it starts to certain things that she might do or certain things that might be around the household that you just keep quiet because you don't want to have any tension. You just go to work every day, and you got to deal with the stress at work. Then you come home, and you got the stress, and you never unpack.
Mm.
So that's Saturday morning for a lot of them men.
Yes, it is.
That keeps them a happy household.
What you talking about?
Yeah, but that's a beautiful thing.
That's a beautiful thing.
We need
thing.
That.
And you know, and whiz, man, we can find creative ways to do things.
We have to.
If the cooking ain't think, if you think it ain't what it used to be, watch cooking shows together.
Yep.
I'm with that.
And you say, baby, you know, I found out there's this cooking channel. Let's be creative. Let's try to cook something different.
I like that.
I love what you've been doing because I can't help but love you. You know, you
put a little sugar on it. I like that.
Well, what you talking about? That's the way you get anything.
I like that.
You know, you don't use vinegar. You got to use something sweet.
Not if you want to win.
And I think we forget is how you say what you say.
Yeah, it's always about what you
and
say.
That
how
makes
you say
all the difference. Yeah, so when you get men together in a room, it's amazing how you can hold each other accountable. And you can have the transparency that is needed, but it comes with time and with trust.
You
have to build trust because if you haven't built trust and built relationship, it's not going to happen.
I agree.
And so that's part of the way we try to do men's ministry here. We're not going to run up on you. Okay, we're going to give you time. We're going to give you space. We're going to invite you.
Right.
We're going to keep on inviting you. And then when you see it's a good time for you to come, come on. And let's get to know each other and let's do something. I think one of the things that we as men have to always work on is being impatient.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says patience is a virtue.
Yes.
It also says impatience possess ye your souls. And I think it's important for us to understand in the book of James, it says, but let God have his perfect work that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it means that God is always working on us.
Yes.
You know, there's a little song we used to sing as kids. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. Okay. And I think all of us, if we put in our minds spiritually, we got a sign out that says, under construction, slow down.
Yes.
You know, don't come at me that fast. you know, North Carolina, if you're speeding in a construction zone, you know, the penalty is greater.
Yes, it is.
Because you're risking someone's life. And I think spiritually we need to understand that. We need to slow down. Mm-hmm. Because I think if all of us slow down, you know, it makes a difference. The Bible tells us in Psalms and in wisdom, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That means count every day that you live.
Yes.
And understand that God has given you this day for a purpose.
Right.
So be on purpose.
I love
that. So we try to help our men be on purpose. And it says, seeking to reach and encourage all males. So we reach our young men too.
I love
that. We have the young fellas come and have breakfast with us too.
I love that.
And it's the time that we get a chance to hear from them, find out what's on their mind, what they need.
Right.
You know, I used to, when my sons were at home, I took them with me.
Yeah,
my boys.
It's nothing I'm not going to talk about in a room with my sons there that I would if they were not there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so fortunate enough, I believe I'm a father who has two sons who are his best friends. I can talk to my sons about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And they know they can ask me anything.
Yeah, we discuss that a lot. I mean, my son is 31 now, but still, I hear from him every day, and it's just, I never try to sugarcoat things with him.
Oh, you should.
You know, mistakes I've made in life.
Keep it real.
And major issues I've had, you know, I've had discussions with him, and he sees things differently as he becomes an adult. Because when he was a child, you know, his mother and I split, things can get confusing.
Sure.
And the man is usually the one that's the title of the confusion. But, you know, you don't want to rock the boat, so a lot of times you don't say anything, so you're the bad guy for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's just, but you find a way to navigate through it.
Sure.
And, you know, the child has to develop. That's one thing I never really wanted, is to have a situation where my child had to be out of my household. Because it's rough.
It has to.
You know, it's rough. And so that's another one of those things when you talk to other people. But back then, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I didn't see things that way. My mind was that clutter that I speak of.
Yeah.
And that transparency and accountability wasn't even present either.
Yeah.
But also, when you look at the generations over me that I might have looked to the guidance, they weren't ready for that.
Mm.
See what I'm saying? Like, you're at a generation where you're just starting to get ready. Yeah. My generation is more prepared to do that and hopefully under. See what I'm saying? Because you learn the value of things differently as time goes by.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you have to be mature enough to understand that that generation over you was just figuring out things as well.
Well, you know, something I think we forget. In scripture, you find so many great things. One of them says there's nothing new under the sun.
Most definitely.
And I think when you start talking to folk, you realize, are you serious? And then you tell them, well, you know, in the Bible, it talks about this very same situation.
Yeah.
They go like, that's in the Bible? Yeah, that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
But we don't open it enough to read it.
Yeah.
And then when we read it, sometimes we don't know what we're reading.
Yep.
The Ethiopian eunuchs at the field. I don't know what I'm reading. Can you help me?
But I think you, I can't even say your generation. I say you as an individual.
Sure.
You're more accepting of change than a lot of pastors are. So a lot of pastors have one way of instruction, mm-hmm. and they're just stuck on that one way. And they're quick on saying anything outside of that way is done wrong. Mm-hmm. And that can draw people away from the church when you make church be so structured.
Yeah.
Because people come to church, some people just come to church to unwind.
Yeah.
Some people come to unpack. Whatever reason it is, they're not coming to be in a structured situation mm-hmm. where they have to feel like it's a military day.
Yeah.
Where you have a program, you're just going this, and you're watching what everybody's wearing, you're watching what everybody's saying, how everybody's moving, mm-hmm. and everything is a judgment zone.
Yeah.
You know, church almost has to be like Planet Fitness, a no judgment zone. She might be a little heavy, you know, she might not be the most attractive person, but she deserves that same spiritual upliftment that you're getting. Yeah.
And the same way with him. He might be overweight.
Yeah, all of that. All kinds of stuff,
he got Dunlap disease. His stomach done lapped over.
My hair don't grow no more. I'm gray everywhere. You know, that might not be fun for some people. But everybody should have that day.
Well,
everybody should have every day where they can be at peace.
They should.
But you walk in those doors, that's what you expecting.
You know, it's summertime here at the Fountain. So we don't necessarily wear suits. So I'm wearing a suit because I knew we were going to be doing this.
Some people can't take that.
I don't preach in a suit every Sunday.
I mean, I believe you, but I'm just saying you're way more accepting than many are.
Know, that's that person's problem.
That's right.
It is. Well, I asked you to speak on, and you just did.
that's somebody else's problem, and I think I agree with that. I think we have to get rid of all of those stigmas that we have against folk.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we were at a wedding celebration, my wife and I. And they were playing this song we wanted to dance to. Pastor had that dance, and I go like, "Yeah, I still got moves on it."
Right,
I mean, music is. I mean, I'm big. We're both big on music.
And
music is a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, and I think one of the things I remind myself, the scripture says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Mm-hmm. I'm free, and I don't have to be bound by tradition or bound by all these other things.
I like that.
And we give people here at the Fountain an opportunity to use their gifts.
Okay.
Whatever your gift is, you use it for the glory of God. And we have people who believe that their gift is in the kitchen. So we have, after worship service, we have what we call fellowship. And we gave the congregation an opportunity to name what we think that hour ought to be, okay, or that time after worship service. So someone came with the idea, let's call it fellowship, because we're sipping coffee. You know, we're sipping tea, we're sipping juice,
okay,
and we're having some good times of fellowship.
Oh, wow.
And so it's important for us to give people opportunities to be themselves.
I love that. You know,
I can say like the great lyricist who's going on to the great beyond, I just want to thank you for letting me be myself again.
That's awesome. Beautiful. That's awesome. So, Pastor, is there, as we wrap things up, is there anything you want to tell people, tell our, you know, very strong fellowship, sure, anything, you know?
Well, all I would tell anybody and everybody who's watching is that, you know, be yourself. When we're trying to reach out to black men, I think it's important, first of all, to value them.
Yes.
See, too oftentimes black men are not valued.
Yeah.
But the way we have been portrayed as not being a part of our families, that's not something we came up with.
No.
Well, look at the history of it.
So
most
untrue.
Black men were not with their families because the slave owners ripped them away,
yep,
and took them someplace else.
Yep.
And they sired children someplace else to try to create within us this psyche that we are always disconnected and the only purpose we have is siring children. So we have children all over the place. But we have to remind ourselves that's not true. Because when we look at the history and the culture of who we are and what we've done, we have been the great inventors of the world.
Yes.
You look at the inventions of so much that has happened in this United States of America and abroad.
Mm-hmm.
It was African-American men and women who created these things.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody else did something and got the patent.
Yep.
So I want to remind all of us that we have always been creative. We have always been innovative.
Most definitely.
God, we created a broom because we were the ones doing the work.
It was hot
outside, so we created the ice machine.
Yep.
I mean, we created ice cream. We created the ice cream cone. We created the soaker.
Yep.
You know, when we start looking at all the things that we have done, you know, we started looking at astronomy years ago.
Yes.
Thousands of years ago. How do you think pyramids were built?
Outlined the skyline years ago in Africa.
We always knew the world was round.
Yes.
And I think black men need to know that you have value, you have worth, you have dignity, and you are respected. And we oftentimes as brothers, we have to make sure that we lead the way in doing that by respecting every man to tell him, hey, brother, you know, you're on my mind. My fraternity that I'm a member of, Omega Psi Phi, every Wednesday we have what we call Brother, You're On My Mind.
Mm.
We challenge every brother to call three other brothers every day, not the same three brothers, but three other brothers, and say, brother, you're on my mind. I call to check on you.
Mm. Every Wednesday.
And I'm calling honestly to say, how you doing?
I like that.
Not what's up. How you doing?
Yep.
How you doing for real?
Yes.
And so we try to make sure that, you know, I think when you find principles, they're transferable.
Yes.
And so we're here at the Fountain. We challenge our men, check on each other.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing good.
I like that.
I would say that every black man that's out there listening,
yes,
find some other black man that you can be a partner with, that you can challenge and say, hey, brother, you're on my mind. I was thinking about you. I want to call you. And if now is not a good time, what's a good time?
Yep.
Let's get together.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I would say that. And I want to say to both of you, thank you for the privilege of letting me sit with you in this time together. It's been a great joy. And I'm looking forward to getting to know the both of you
the
better. It's always great to have acquaintances, and it's great to have friendships and relationships.
Yeah,
but they draw closer by the day. I forever and always will value my relationship with your family. The Hendersons are great people. Because I was telling somebody the other day, Henderson is so close to Anderson. All you got to do is just change a couple letters. I'm so happy that we've had this time together, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, we like to end off. I always let him end off with something. So go ahead and end it off, my guy.
All right, I put something together this time. This episode means a lot to me, to us. You know, we're taking our podcast to another level.
Yes.
And this great man here played a great part. And at the heart of every strong community is compassion, connection, and care.
Mm-hmm.
The church isn't just a building, it's a body, and every part matters. And as we face life struggles, let's not forget the power of prayer, therapy, and showing up for one another. Mental health is just as important as spiritual health, and healing happens when we uplift each other, mind, body, and soul. So until the next time, be kind to yourself, check on your strong people, and keep building something greater together.
That's great. All right, man. I'd like to thank Pastor Paul Anderson and the Fountain of Raleigh Fellowship Church. I'm told Sean T.S. is who I am.
Trey Dodd is who I am. Nobody calls me Corey.
And we thank you for tuning into the Black Male Podcast, man. Catch you all next week.
It's been great.
Peace.
Yeah. Peace out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.